Hey, Workday Playdate peeps. Welcome back to the show where we ditch the boring leadership cliches and bring you all the tools to lead with intention, empathy, and most importantly, a whole lot of fun. So I'm your host, Erin Deal, and today's episode is guaranteed to make you laugh, learn, and leave ready to shake things up in your workplace. Now, let me ask you this. When's the last time you laughed so hard that your stomach hurt or you felt like you might pee your pants? Let's just even say that. When is the last time that you felt that? I love that feeling. There's no better feeling. It's an ab workout and you're letting endorphins fly all at once. But most importantly, this is the most important question. When is the last time that that happened at work? Now, if your answer is, I don't remember or never, buckle up because today's guest is about to change that. I've got the one, the only Jamar Johnson with me, an entrepremedian, which is just a fancy way of saying he's part entrepreneur, part comedian, and 100% someone you need to know. Jamar is a powerhouse speaker, author, and master of connection who knows how to turn even the dullest Zoom meeting into a standing ovation worthy moment. From his game-changing strategies like event hacking to his secret sauce for building authentic relationships, Jamar is here to show us how humor and play can inspire teams, spark innovation, and make leadership, dare I say, fun. That's fun. So I want you to grab your coffee, your notebook, your chicken hat, and let's dive in. Here's Workday Playdate with Jamar John Johnson. Okay, Workday Playdate with Jamar. Jamar, I already told you this 800 times. I'm so excited to chat with you. I love your vibe. I love your energy. Welcome to Workday Playdate with Improve It.
Thank you so much for having me, Erin. I really appreciate it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I told you this as well. Our theme for this month is all about team building and collaboration. So I want you, that's an intention we are setting for this show this month. But for you, what is an intention you want to give the peeps today? That's what we call our community. What's an intention for our conversation?
Sure. I would say my intention, I think it coincides really closely with what you're trying to do with collaboration and team building. Mine is community. I think we really got to get back to getting in and around each other's spaces and filling each other up, getting off our devices and tapping in so that we can really tune it up in 2025.
Oh my God. Tap it in to tune it up. I am here for that. I love that. That's a tweetable. Okay, if I've ever, that's a.
It's gonna be a lot of those. I'm a tweet master.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk about that because community. That's a core pillar of mine is community, and I want to have community virtually. I want to have community in person. I want to connect with people in person. What time or name a time in your life that you really felt community and what did that look and feel like for you?
Well, I can think of a number of times. The first time that I really felt community as a teenager was when I started playing organized basketball. Now, I started kind of late. You know, I loved the game, always played it growing up, but I didn't play organized high school basketball until I was a sophomore in high school. And at first, I didn't understand the value of it. And so I ended up quitting about 10 games into the season because I wasn't happy with my role as a sixth man and my ego was all in the way of the team. But what happened for me was over that summer, after leaving the team, I grew a love for the game. And I went back to go try out for my junior year. And my coach said, you know, Jamar, I'm not sure if I can let you on the team this year. And I was like, why not? My game is better. I want to be a starter. He goes, yeah, but last year you quit on us and we really needed you. You were an integral part of the team. And I learned a valuable lesson about, you know, quitting. You know, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. But in that particular case, I should not have walked away. But it grew my passion for that particular community. And that helped me to really have a successful high school career where I went from being left back once in high school as a freshman from cutting class to being skipped once. And I graduated valedictorian of high school. And I think the community of what basketball was really played a major role in that.
Oh my God. I love that. Valedictorian. We're talking to a valedictorian. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, all these tweetables. I'm so here for that. What a great story. And I mean, truthfully, it's so cool that you, it almost seems like you didn't even know the value of yourself until you went back. You know, you had to have that moment of like, okay, I'm going to go back. And then it was like, hey, we really needed you. And so it almost validated you even more. I love this, Jamar. Your energy is so wonderful. It's so refreshing. So
energy, I try to bring it. I don't know if you remember that movie. It was the Enter. You had Bruce Lee Enter the Dragon, and then you had Bruce Leroy, the Last Dragon. And it was at some point when he was feeling the glow, he just started moving, and you could see the glow around him. That's what I feel like, Bruce Leroy. I just got the glow. And when you let your joy out, you're really infecting people with that. It's like positivity.
Yes. Because like you have to, I saw some quote recently. It's like, you have to light yourself up in order to light others. There's no way you can't light yourself up first. And I love that.
Absolutely.
I feel it through everything you do. And I got a question from one of our people in our peeps. We say it's our peeps community.
Peeps.
Our peeps. And I thought it was just so applicable to you in this conversation. So I'm going to play it for you right now.
Okay, Erin, I've got to ask, what do you say to leaders who feel like they're just not funny? Like, how can someone who doesn't think they're naturally playful or comedic still use humor to try to connect with their team?
Okay, so let me ask you some questions about this, because we're going to break it down.
Let's break it down. I already have the golden answer for this, but let's go.
Oh my God. Okay. Because let me start with this. When I got this question, I was like, okay, this is for Jamar. So you call yourself an intrapremedian.
Entrepremedian.
Entrepremedian.
So like entrepreneur and comedian, entrepremedian. And I have a funny story about Dave Chappelle, the why I call myself that, but let's go.
I want to hear that. But also let me tell you something. As an entrepreneur, every time I spell entrepreneur, I have to go back and spell check it. So the fact that I just said intrapremedian, I don't even know where that came from. So entrapremedian, tell us the Dave Chappelle story, because I know that you can help people feel funny. So tell us that story.
Before I tell the Dave Chappelle story, a quick answer to that question is, if someone doesn't feel funny, the easiest thing that they can do is facilitate funny around them. Now, how do you do that? There's a number of ways. One is, make people feel safe about taking the risks to be funny. And so you can always laugh. Like my mother, she's my greatest fan.
Aww.
If she's in the audience, she's going to laugh so loud that sometimes it's almost distracting. But you know what? I would take her anywhere, any day, because she's infectious with her laughter.
I love people like that.
So if you're a leader and you don't feel like you're actually funny, facilitate funny. Encourage other people to be funny. Egg them on. Remember, there's the old combination of the straight man and the funny man. Perhaps you're the person who allows the jokes to be set up upon. So facilitate funny whenever you possibly can. The other thing you can do is, you can learn how to remember jokes. You can go learn a joke. It's very easy. And there are there's probably 1,000 books out there with jokes from old and new. In fact, I love going to Half Price Books like once a month and just splurging. Spend about $50 and buy about 27 books. And one of the books that I recently purchased was originally published in 1945. And it was like a whole thesaurus of like all of these jokes from all the way back from like the 1800s all the way to the 1940s.
How cool is that?
Yeah. So there's like Mark Twain and all of the amazing writers. So I purchased this book, The Dictionary of Humorous Quotations. And throughout the day, I'll just read a couple jokes. I'll just open up a random page. Sometimes I'm on virtual coffees with new people and I just feel inspired. And I say, you know what? Let me try something. And I'll just open up a random page and pull out a joke. Now, because those jokes are old, sometimes they're not relevant. But guess what? You can use your ability to update the joke into 2025.
Yes.
And now you've got something that maybe you aren't naturally funny, but take something that has a little bit of humor in it and sprinkle some of your sauce. You know, like with Salt Bae, sprinkle some of that sauce on it
I wish people could see that right now.
Yes.
He, just so you know, he did like a little like hand up moment of
salt bay. That's called salt. That's yes. a salt
oh
bay.
Oh my God.
Salt
that bay. Was so good. Okay. I have two questions to coming off of that. Number yeah. one, what is your mom's name?
My mother's name is Sharon.
Sharon, we love you. You got to send this to Sharon.
Yes. We'll oh, I certainly her. Will. She okay. listens. She listens to everything that I make, whether I want her to or not.
Oh my God. What a nice mom.
Yes.
Janice, if you're listening, listen up. but hey, Sharon. And the second thing is, what's a joke that you got out of the book recently? Just to put you on the spot, is there something that comes to mind? You can even read one.
No. I actually can, because I was talking to someone yesterday. There was a joke written by Woody Allen, and the joke was crime pays, and it was like you get the hours are great, and you get to travel. Now, you know, for that time, it probably hit right. But here's what I added to it. Crime pays. The hours are great. You get to travel, especially on Air Force One.
Yes.
Right? Now, I didn't tell you which president I was talking about, because there are a lot
right.
of them.
Yeah, that's
but,
right.
You know.
But I mean, that's so fun. And it's fun to like reinvent jokes from yes. the past and make them relevant. I love that. Okay,
absolutely.
Wait. So you got to go back to Entrepromedian, the coolest yes. title ever.
Yes.
How that came to be, and then the Dave, how does that interloop with the Dave
yes.
Chappelle story?
So here's what happened. I started speaking when I was 18 years old in front of about 2,000 people at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City, where I got to meet Kofi Annan, who in 1997 was the head of the United Nations. So on my 18th birthday, I got a double-breasted pinstripe navy blue suit. I do my thing. I have no idea about the impact of that performance. But as I get off the stage, people are running up to me and they're handing me business cards and they're saying, hey, Jamar, come intern at our company. Now, I'm in New York City. I have no idea about the value of an internship. I know I did them, you know, when I was in high school, but I was like, listen, I need money for college. I want to get out of my house. I'm joining the military. So I joined the military at 18. And first I was a Marine. Then I earned a ROTC scholarship. So I go 2 years in the Marine Corps. Then I go to the Navy. So I'm in the Navy. And my first duty station, I'm in Japan, Yokosuka, Japan. Domonegato gozaimasu. That's a little bit of Japanese for you. And while in Japan, my ship selects me to be the anti-submarine warfare officer. So with that role, I had to go from Yokosuka, Japan to Newport, Rhode Island for a 30-day training course in order to learn all of the new things that I needed for my new position. While I was there in December of 2005, I drove through a blizzard to get to the improv to see none other than the cast of the Dave Chappelle Show perform on tour in between seasons 1 and 2. So we're talking about Kyle Grooms, Marina Franklin, Bill Burr was the middle act, Dana Rawlings, and Charlie Murphy, rest in peace, who I had a chance to open up for about 4 years later. So that was my first ever live comedy experience, besides watching it on television. So in that moment, my head is exploding with laughter, with connection, with possibility. And because my undergrad was accounting, I did the head count in the room. And I said, wait a minute, there's 800 people in this room. As was the improv, the old improv in Boston, Faneuil Hall. 800 people. This is one of 9 or 10 sold out shows. $45 a ticket, 2-drink minimum plus food. I was like, they just did $1.2 million in a weekend telling jokes? This is a business? I was blown away. And so from that moment, not only did I resonate with their stories, I was like, those are my people. I'm a comedian, because I'd always make people laugh, but it wasn't like with jokes. It was just observations. It was just my point of view was very different from everyone else's around me. So from that moment, December 2005, I started pursuing comedy. Fast forward 4 years into my little baby comedy career. I'm such a comedy nerd. I have comedy business cards. So everywhere I go, I'm networking with people. And I was on a OkCupid date in Oakland, California. And I went to pick up this girl and it was raining outside. And, you know, I was an officer in the Navy. I'm a lieutenant. I'm going to Navy postgraduate school. I feel like I'm the man, you know, driving my brand new Beamer. And when I'm walking her to the car in the rain with an umbrella, and I look across the street and I see a line of people standing in the rain. And I said, hey, what are those people standing in the rain for? She goes, Dave Chappelle just got back from Africa. I'm like, what? This is when Dave had vanished. He came back. He was doing all these shows at this venue called the New Parish. So I said, girl, we got to go see him. And she was a school teacher. So she says, Jamar, I don't know. The tickets are expensive. I was like, girl, how much are these tickets? She was like, $55 a piece. I was like, girl, I'm a baller. Let's go. I'm going to make it rain for us. You don't got to worry about nothing. It's all on me. And I had no idea what I was about to see because it was a 6.5 hour masterclass. Dave Chappelle performed for 6.5 hours.
My God.
And it was unbelievable. Now, what happened, this is how I became the entrepreneur. I'm sitting in my chair on the first level. There's two levels. It's about midnight. Dave is killing the audience. He started at 10:35. He's killing the audience for 90 minutes. There was a couple in the front that kept yelling, Rick James, with that, you know, that catchphrase.
Yes, yes.
And they kept yelling it sporadically. They kept getting drunker and drunker. So Dave said, listen, you don't got to go home, but you got to get out of here. Security, get him out of here. So they get kicked out. It was at that moment that my day goes, Jamar, I'm having a great time, but, you know, I'm a teacher. I got to go to work in the morning. I get up at 5:30 and it's midnight. I'm like, so I kissed on the cheek. I'll see you later. Just text me when you get home. She lived right across the street, so it wasn't like she had to go far, right? I said, text me when you get home. I can't leave. Now, to my left, there was a little blonde girl who I had given one of my comedy business cards to. And she elbows me when my date leaves. And she goes, Jamar, we should go take those two seats up front. And I'm like, girl, you're trying to get us in trouble? Like, this is chill. But then I thought to myself, this little white girl has a good point. But she was cute. So I said, you go first and I'll go behind you. So she went first. And I went second. So she sat down and I sat down. Now I'm on her left. We're 8 feet away from Dave Chappelle. The stage is probably 2.5, maybe 3 feet tall. So my feet are like on the stage, like pressed up against it. 10 minutes goes by. The blonde-headed girl now elbows me on the other side. She goes, Jamar, you should give Dave Chappelle your business card so he knows you're a comedian and maybe he'll take you on the road. And I was like, this girl is so naive. But then I remembered something deep. I don't know if you ever heard this quote before, but it was just like live with a childlike wonder.
Yeah.
Anything is possible.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I said, you know what? I pulled my comedy business card out. I put it face up on the stage to my left, his right. And 30 minutes later, Dave Chappelle looks down and goes, whose card is this? And he picks it up and he goes, oh, it's your card. And he reads it out loud. And on my card, it has my name. And it says, comedian, writer, singer, artist, handyman.
That's amazing.
And the whole crowd went crazy. Now, what's even more amazing is I have that audio clip.
Oh, my God. You got to give it to us.
I will give it to you so you can insert it, right?
Okay. We have a sound clip of this Dave Chappelle moment. Let's listen to it now.
Whose car is this? Is this you? Oh, that is you. Comedian, writer, singer, artist, handyman. This is by far the most hilarious voiceover I have ever seen in my life. This guy's gonna make $1 billion. Jamar, I'm serious. You're gonna make a lot of money with that.
You think so?
Just judging off this car, I'm gonna forget you. And then a year from now, I'm gonna be doing my laundry and be like, oh, I remember those paints. I'm gonna pull this card out and I'm gonna start cracking up laughing. And then I'll call you up. And you know the saddest part of that whole scenario? It'll still be the same number. Hello, this is Jamar speaking.
Thank you.
Sincerely, no bullshit. She made me laugh. What a
strip club meeting. You want to go in there and apologize. Hey, about that time I threw that $11 at you. I'm sorry. Shit, I learned it was 11 in earlier. Talk a little bit about myself. I've been wrong all these years. What you do is an art form.
It was mind-blowing. It was validation. But Dave Chappelle told me, he goes, Jamar, he's like, you're going to make $1 billion one day. That's the first thing he said. He says, this is the most hilarious business card I've ever seen. And he was like, sincerely. So those things, it was all the wind beneath my wings that I will ever need in my entire career.
Oh, I
After that
it.
Moment, I was like, no one can tell me anything. I made my comedic hero laugh
yes.
with a joke that I wrote. So technically, I wrote for Dave Chappelle because he did read my joke, and I have proof. But I've seen him subsequently a bunch of times, and I've just been on that journey ever since. But the comedy business card. So I always saw the connection because part of that 6.5-hour show that he gave us was talking about his ethics and his values, why he walked away from the $50 million deal. And, you know, this podcast is all about humor and leadership. But guess what? Dave Chappelle showed incredible leadership and fortitude to make that kind of a decision. Because how many people, I mean, everyone thought he was crazy for doing what he did. But if they look at how he's rebounded, he's probably made 10x what he would have made by standing on his values and his ethics. And so I learned a valuable lesson that night.
Oh my gosh, such a good freaking story.
Thank you.
And like, what chutzpah you had to put your card on that stage, you know?
I give all the credit to the little angel, the yes. blonde girl.
Well, Blondie. I mean, yep. for real, that is so beautiful. And I do, I mean, I will tell you, we use a chicken hat. I don't know if you know that about us.
I've seen it. Okay. No, I saw the pictures.
Okay. That's like that's our calling card is we've helped over 40,000 people chicken dance, wow. right? Like that's wow. our thing. And so, but Entrepremedian, am I saying it right? Entrepremedian.
Yes. You're saying it perfectly.
Is so memorable. It's yes. so just impactful. It describes you to a T. I could feel your energy over email and you left this oh. hilarious review. I just think
Thank
that
you.
It's such a beautiful way to describe yourself. Hey there, Workday Playdate listeners. Just a quick pause to let you in on something exciting. This podcast is ad-free because we believe in giving you value, not distractions. However, I would be remiss if I did not let you in on a little secret here at Improve It and tell you about one of our most popular team building workshops that has been transforming teams everywhere, from powerhouse companies like LinkedIn, Walgreens, and Amazon to small and mighty businesses just like yours. Now, Improve It is the company behind Workday Playdate. I am the founder of Improve It, and we are an improv-infused talent development company for the new generation of work. In our highly interactive, high-energy workshops, our seasoned improv facilitators will take your team through improvisational activities and customized debriefs, all centered around our golden rule. Showing up plus support equals collaboration. Now, whether your team is in person or remote, they'll walk away with tools to improve communication, build supportive relationships, and partner better with cross-functional teams. We tailor everything to your needs. In person, we're rocking for 2 hours with up to 100 participants, and virtually, it's 90 minutes of laughs and learning for up to 50 people. Are you ready to energize your team? Let's make it happen. Visit us at www.learntoimproveit.com to learn more or find the link in our show notes. That's learntoimproveit.com or check out the link in the show notes. I'm so excited to hear from you. Now back to our show. I want to talk to our peeps because that's why I felt so strongly that you should be here because
thank you.
So many people find work boring and yes. have been in like super awkward meetings. So what's a tip? What's a playful tip that someone listening could use to make a meeting more fun and engaging for their team? What is something like from the like guy who was a writer for Dave Chappelle that this community could use, and there's the word community, that our community could use from you to help just make things more playful?
Sure. Well, About 2 months ago, I had the opportunity to roast an employee who had done about 20 plus years at a company, was saying her goodbyes, and it was her idea to actually be roasted farewell.
I love that.
And so one of the things that I did was I met up with some of the people who were going to be on the panel, and I helped them with their material. So one of the things I would say is, at the workplace, is have a light roasting session. And when I say light roast, one of my favorite books in terms of roasting people is by Jeffrey Ross. And he says, only roast the ones you love.
Yes.
And so if there's someone that you don't really mess with at work, probably not best to roast them, yes, because you, yes, might be a little bit too, you might dig a little too deep. But the studies have shown, and there's a book called Humor Works, yes, written by Dr. Morrell in like 1991. That companies that have a playful, joyful, humorous environment have a lower turnover. So if employees can't laugh and joke with one another and point out each other's, you know, flaws, sometimes your strength could be something that someone could roast you on, right? So I would say light roasting sessions, like coming to each meeting with a light roast joke for one another, would be something that I would say to lighten up the meetings.
I love that. Okay. I just watched the Martha Stewart documentary. Do you remember when she roasted Justin Bieber and like it turned around her whole career?
She was in. So Martha Stewart is a gangster.
Yes.
And I give her so much credit. She was an inspiration for me. I mean, when I thought about Sheetz, I thought about the Martha Stewart brand.
Yes.
You know, because, yeah, she was just ubiquitous with just everything making your home feel like a place that you wanted to be.
Yes. Yes. Well, and I'm just thinking about her, like that totally changed her career trajectory after that, because she had just come back from prison and like was, mm-hmm, still in that negative spotlight. But okay, so when we're thinking about this, I like that, having some fun, playful roasting moments. We at Improve It, we do like the superlative awards. So you can, okay, make little superlatives for your team at the end of every year. So
like
most
that.
Likely to do X, Y, and Z. And we, yep, have everybody vote for them. And so that's just another fun thing too. But then we have so many different clients from so many different industries. And I'm just thinking of them as I'm talking to you, who are probably thinking, okay, that would work for you two comedians and humorists. But I still have to maintain some professionalism at my role. So how do you strike that balance between having playfulness and professionalism, which I don't even really like that word, to be honest, but that's a word people still use, because I do think we're moving into a space where people can show up more as their whole selves. But how do you run that fine line? Like, what's that line look like for you?
Sure. Well, you know, being former military, I was in both the Marine Corps and the Navy. And I grew up in New York City, where the Dirty Dozens was played daily. And what I would say is, in a professional environment, if we focus on the strengths, meaning the light roasting of someone's strongest qualities shows an actual admiration. Meaning, I remember this thing, when the people you're around don't make fun of you, you're not liked very well. Right.
Wait. So I'm so with you on that, because my family, we just tear each other apart. And I'm like, that's how I feel loved. Like, I truly, yes, don't. If you don't make fun of me, I don't feel loved. Like, okay, keep going.
Now, listen, it's going to be different in every environment, because, you know, some people literally just, they're just like, they're scared of attempting humor, especially at the workplace, for good reason. But this is why it starts with education. Like, you have to learn. Like, where's that line? Every office is going to have a different line of what's professional, right? I've worked on a lot of sales floors. There's a lot of things that might be deemed unprofessional if you compare that to the accounting department. So each department is going to have its own baseline for what's acceptable. And it's important to really understand that and, you know, be mindful of that as you come up with playful things.
Yeah. It's almost like testing, right? Like an open mic. Like, if it feels like it went too far, it probably did go too far. So, mm-hmm, maybe pull it back just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think humor is such a beautiful thing that a lot of people have. Everyone is funny. It's just how much you allow yourself to really play with it. So I know for you, it's opened so many doors. But what's the most surprising way humor's opened doors for you or even created like a life-changing experience?
Well, I can give you one example in particular, and that was, I remember during the pandemic, there was an app that really went viral called Clubhouse. Yes, do you remember that app?
I do. And I joined it, but like couldn't get into it.
I grew my business tremendously on Clubhouse.
Yeah.
Just being in rooms, speaking. I think the key is, though, is you got to be in a leadership position. You got to start the rooms. You have to bring the people with the topics, and so that you're in control of that stage and you're bringing in interesting people. But I made some really good connections there. One of them led to an in-person meeting with the CEO of a company up in the Sacramento area. But we met down in Orange County. And when we met to talk about some strategic business development opportunities. But the first 90 minutes of our conversation was all storytelling and laughter and just connecting on who we were as people. So the ability to tell a good story and tell it with laughter and levity, what it does is I tell people the best connection between two strangers is a well-timed joke. And so it could be a set-up punchline joke, or it could be a story with a lot of twists and turns. But when you can tell an effective story or tell an effective joke, you get people's attention because you're bringing instant joy to their mind, and a neurochemical cocktail is released in their brain without them wanting it.
Yes.
So it's like magic and alchemy. But essentially, you make someone feel better and you make someone like, who is this person?
Yeah, drunk off humor. That's it, you know?
Absolutely.
I love that. And, you know, it ties back to the whole thing. Like, people don't remember what you say. They remember how you make them feel.
Maya Angelou.
Yes.
And what I will tell you about that particular meeting is that it led to a 13-month contract that brought in for me over $180,000.
Amazing.
So the power of that one connection led to a really long engagement with the client. So,
I freaking love that story, Jamar, because I got to tell you, like somebody sitting here listening, you just gave us resources. You said, hey, here's a book. Go learn a couple jokes and add some of your own punches. Make them 2025.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Use those, have them in your back pocket. Talk, and then storytelling. You're such a natural storyteller. It just comes very natural to you.
Now it does, but this is 27 years of training.
I hear that. I understand.
More than that, if you count the fact that I started speaking in high school at 15, so I'm 45, so that's 30 years.
Yep. But the storytelling power, when people can like visualize and you can take them on an emotional journey and they can see, like I literally pictured you in that front row with that blonde girl putting that card on the stage. Like I can visually see you doing that and kind of being like, you know, and kind of like putting your hand there very slowly so he wouldn't notice. But like that story evoked an emotion in me, right? Sure. And so that's something somebody listening can take too, is just take the very specific specificities of stories, how you describe that so specifically. And then I knew her apartment was like right across the street. There was just so many specifics that you brought in that made me visually see it, I think is another takeaway for people listening too, because you're giving us so much without even realizing how much you're given here, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. And I do want to give shout out to one of my storytelling coaches, Miss Barbara Clark, who at the time of this recording, she's probably like 84, 85. But she started teaching storytelling after retiring from teaching at 65 years old. So I met her when she was probably 81 and she was remarkable. And so what I also say is that whether you're speaking, whether you're learning humor, whether you're learning storytelling, it is an infinite game. It never ends. There's always more to learn. And the more effort you put into it, the better and the faster you'll develop those skill sets.
I freaking love it. I love it so much. I really do. Barbara, love you. Thank you, Barbara. It's so wonderful to have mentors like that too. So, okay. I always ask this question. We are the Workday Playdate with Improve It. Improve It is the name of our business, as you know. But we always say that it is that very special thing, that purpose, the reason that Jamar is on this earth. What is your it?
Well, when I was sitting at a desk in 2014 in Silicon Valley, I was doing really well in the sales role, but I knew that it wasn't fully aligned with what I knew my purpose was. But I was like, what is that purpose? I was listening to a Napoleon Hill audiobook. It was in his own words. So it was his own voice. And he said, a lot of people go through their life without knowing their purpose. It's like a ship leaving the shore without a destination guaranteed to be lost at sea. And as a former naval officer, that metaphor struck a chord with me because I remember reviewing charts and making sure we initialed before we left. And so in that moment, I stopped the audiobook and I wrote down the purpose of my life on an index card. And of course, I've refined it over the years, but the purpose of my life is to bring joy, pleasure, and happiness to all those around me, to learn daily, to achieve greatly by always following my divine creativity so that one day I can say that I've helped as many people as I possibly could unlock their gifts and talents into the world so that they can make it a better place. So that's my purpose.
Okay, I love it. Kind of want to cry a little bit, got a little tear in the retina there, and I love that. And I got one question, one follow-up.
Okay.
What book was it by Napoleon?
So this was an audio book, and it's literally titled In His Own Words. I'll send you a screenshot.
Oh, In His Own Words. Okay.
It's on Audible.
Okay. So I'll drop that in for people listening. And then my second thing just to point out is if people want to add more humor in their workday, you did a really fun impression. And who knows if that's how Napoleon actually talks, but
that's how he sounded.
But you made me laugh. That was like such a fun moment. And that's, again, how I'm going to walk away feeling is a certain way. And my cheeks are going to hurt from this episode. Like, I still feel like I've just been smiling this whole time. So good. If you're looking of ways to add more humor to your day, try to just do a fun voice. Try to humor and storytelling. Try to have a couple jokes up your sleeve. And then we talked about roasting too, which I love. Okay, my last question for you, and I could talk to you for literally like 2 hours.
I know, we could go
on
forever.
Fun. Okay, now how will you make your workday more playful today?
Let's see, besides the impressions that I'm doing here, I've been dreaming about 2025 for a long time. And I was talking to Michelle and she said, Barack, why don't you tell them about your dream? So I believe if we come together hand in hand, I believe we can fly.
Oh my God.
I believe. So yeah, I'm always playing around with voices and
so good.
You know,
truly close my eyes. I actually met him once in real life, and that was like the most joyful day of my entire life. There's a whole story I have a book called I See You, but literally it's a whole story about how a woman on my team found her voice through Barack Obama. And so we, much love to that. That was a very good impression. And I closed my eyes for Matt. I was like, he's here. He's on this recording.
He's here.
I love that. Have fun. Play around. And then I know our peeps are going to want to find you everywhere. So
yes.
Tell them where they can find you, all the things they need to know.
Sure. So of course you can find me at my website, iamjamar.com. Also, entrepremedian.com, if you can spell that. It's on Urban Dictionary. You can look it up.
I
also do have a book called Super Connecting. And so you can find that on my website. But LinkedIn is a great place. I'm spending a lot more time on LinkedIn. I'm having fun in the comments with one of my I call it my super connection methods for making new connections. And it's having fun in the comments. It's using humor. It's being thoughtful and giving in the comment sections, because in the comment sections is where you're going to find the top 1-2% of active users on LinkedIn.
There you go. Smart move. And another
little tip.
Powerful play right there. And you're having fun with it, which I love.
And you're having fun.
Yes. Oh my God. Okay.
Test out those jokes on the unsuspecting.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to comment on your stuff and you have to comment on mine so we can, I want to laugh with you all day. We're going to laugh forever. Okay. Jamar, I got to tell you. And so I'm going to come full circle. You have given our community a sense of community and connection with your super connecting.
Super connection.
So everyone follow Jamar. I'm so glad you're in our orbit. I don't think this is the last time we will be speaking. I feel like there's a lot of things that are going to happen from this, but I'm so happy our peeps got to meet you. Jamar, You are the real deal. Until next time.
Thank you, Erin.
And that's a wrap on today's laugh-filled Workday Playdate episode. If Jamar has taught us anything, it's this. Leadership does not have to be stiff, serious, or let's be honest, soul-sucking. The best leaders bring their authentic selves to the table, including their sense of humor, because when you lead with laughter, you inspire connection, creativity, and joy. So here's your challenge. This week, I want you to try injecting a little play into your workday. Go on, do it. Just try it for me. Maybe it's a joke to kick off your next meeting, like Jamar suggested, a quick game to boost the team energy, or even just showing up with a smile. Small steps lead to big shifts, my peeps, and your team will thank you for it. Now, if this episode sparks some ideas or even gave you a little chuckle, share it with a fellow leader who needs to hear it. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode of Workday Playdate. Now, here's the message I'm going to leave you with every single time. You know it, you love it. Keep playing, keep leading, and remember, every day is a work day and it's a play date waiting to happen. The world needs that special you and it that only you can bring. See you next time.